stations promise outstanding content, but when it's time to deliver, they fall flat on their ridiculous faces. Enter LA Talk Radio, a cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk station that delivers totally original content without any commercials. Log on to latalkradio.com and get involved with the best talk radio station on the internet. LA Talk Radio, we say what we want.
The morning show that's on your side. But then again, so is appendicitis.
Broadcasting live from the palatial studios of LA Talk Radio, get ready for the best morning show on the internet. It's time for Sam in the Morning with Bruschetta, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Monday, April 9th.
We are back.
We're back with a vengeance, folks.
Exactly.
Beware. We've got stories out of our asses.
Out of our asses. Beware and be scared, especially if it's coming from our asses.
Yes.
Just saying.
Welcome back, Bruschetta. How you doing?
I'm good. It's good to be back. You know what? Yeah. I just realized we missed April 1st, which would have been an... Didn't we miss April? Yeah.
Yeah, we did
miss. Which would have been an insanely crazy prank day.
That's true.
I think we should, you know, do it like April 11th. Like,
okay,
I don't know.
And do a prank on someone?
Yeah, let's prank people.
Do you have any good ideas for pranks?
I am the best prankster ever.
Really?
I'm the devil. I really am. But
let's do it. It doesn't have to be April 1st. You know, prepare something.
Okay.
And we'll prank someone.
It's
what
done.
The hell?
See, and it's you know, be glad in a way that we weren't here, because I would have come in super early and I would have done some silly prank, or I would have gotten everyone in the office to be on it, and
really?
I would have done something funny to you.
So did you, I mean, you could have pranked still somebody, right? Your friends or
I could
something.
Have. Yeah. I didn't, though.
You didn't?
No, I was in, like, Florida La La Land.
Yes.
I was, like, beaching it, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it's nice to have you back, your smiling face and everything.
Thanks.
So you spent the 2 weeks in Florida.
Lovely old Florida. South Florida, on the Gulf.
Wow.
So it was very rejuvenating.
What's
very
the place
relaxing.
Called?
Bonita Springs.
Bonita
which is
Springs.
Practically, it's Naples. Everyone knows Naples better, so we'll just say that.
Right.
But, yeah.
And so you went back home to your family, right?
Well, we have a house there, and my parents are back and forth.
Mm.
And my father flew in for 2 days, and then he flew out. My mom was there. My sister flew in the last portion, just this last week. And so it was great. My brother didn't get to make it. But we had good times.
But you had a good time.
Yeah.
I mean, you posted some pictures that were just amazing.
Yeah, it's incredible there.
Wow. So this is like a house on the water, huh?
It's a house right on the bay, and we are a block from the beach.
Wow.
Yeah, it's great. I mean, it's the best of both worlds. Because, you know, I'm a beach person, and I love the sound of the waves, even though they're quiet as hell in the Gulf.
Really?
Minus the crazy storm I had and almost died into last week. Because I decided to get in the water like an idiot.
What happened there?
Oh, well, because, you know, the water normally, the ocean there is like a lake. It really is. It's just very, very,
very still.
There's
stuff?
No waves.
Really?
It's crazy.
Wow.
I took a photo actually yesterday when I was in the water to show how calm it was. And then I took a photo of the crazy waves. And the waves are, you know, I grew up on the East Coast in Maryland. And where our family is based out of. And the waves there are, you know, they're good waves. You surf them. You surf in North Carolina. You surf Maryland. They're good waves.
Mm.
And the waves here were kind of like that. And I look at it and I'm like, oh, whatever. It's nothing like, you know, that. Or LA or Hawaii or anything. So it's fine. I'll get in. And then I looked at it and I'm like, actually, I shouldn't get in here. I mean, it was like, bam, one after the other. Bam, bam, bam. Like
really?
Crazy. Yeah. And they were not only big, they were just one after the other. And I looked at it. I'm like, oh, it's really creating an undertow there. I'm hot. I'm getting in anyway. And the crazy thing is because it's a private neighborhood, it's a private beach.
Oh.
So there's no one there, which is great in ways, but also it's not great when you get a brilliant idea like I do. I go
so
in.
You went by yourself and you had to deal with this now.
Yeah, I got in the water by myself, knowing it was stupid. I did see a couple that was in the neighborhood. They came out and they were setting up chairs like kind of nearby. So I thought, oh, whatever, they'll be there in case. They know where I live. I'm like yelling out our address. Hey, no, I'm kidding. So I go in the water and I have an inner tube too. So lo and behold, I get stuck under. And I surf, and I'm a strong swimmer and everything. And I knew I shouldn't have gone in there, but I did it anyway because it was hot and I wanted to get in the water.
Yeah.
And I got sucked under, and then I held on for dear life onto the raft, knowing that's up, obviously, because rafts will float.
Right.
So they kept like slamming on top of me, so I couldn't get up. And I'm like, it was my own stupid fault, because I was like, under, over, under, over. Okay, I'm going over. And I shouldn't have, because it slammed on me. So stupid. So I got traveled underneath and got stuck, and I really didn't know which way I was up except for where my hand was.
Really? Wow.
Yeah. And so I carried myself, it carried me up rather, and then I'm like, oh my God, I got to get out of here before the next wave.
Yeah.
So I'm like swimming as
hard
as I can.
Were you freaking out on the water?
Yeah. I mean, well, I was like, I knew I would come out of it, because if anything, I would have just let go of the raft.
Right. Because
that's the thing, when you hold onto a raft, you're still stuck in like the wave thing. If you dive low enough, you're fine, you know, and whatever. So I get up. My biggest concern was getting up and getting out right away before I get hit with the next one. So I was like, I have to swim sideways and get out of this mess before. Yeah. So that was the danger. And the couple saw what was happening, and they got up and they were like, oh my God.
Really?
And yeah, I got out of my, and I'm coughing all this water. I'm like, you know what? Look at the bright side. I just did a full body salt cleanse.
And almost died in the process.
But my sinuses are feeling so great now. You know the salt cleanses you buy at the store? Who needs that?
Yeah, exactly.
Just get caught in a rainstorm.
Yeah.
And actually, it did. It thundered and lightning. It was a really big storm.
Oh, really?
And then that came through and it was fine. But,
Yeah. So cool. So you spent some good time with your family and everything? And,
I did.
Did you get to relax at all?
I relaxed the whole time. I mean, I was working from there still, which was funny because I'm casting for two shows.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So I'm still casting for The Millionaire Matchmaker for the women, and then I'm casting for something else for the men, looking for successful men who really want to fall in love on a different show. And
This is a separate show?
Yeah.
Oh,
separate.
I see. Okay.
And so anyway, I get this brilliant idea, like, why not sign up for a sugar daddy site? Because they're the men that not everyone wants to find people. And the women on there, like, I can just still, I really signed up for the women. I thought because when you do a search initially, you can search for all the women.
Right.
So I actually thought of making up a guy profile and just talking to the women. And then I thought, well, if they really research me, that's stupid. I'm just going to be me and whatever.
Yeah.
So I went and I signed a profile up. And I went to search for the women, and once you do that, it doesn't let you do it. You could only search for men.
Wow.
And I'm like, bullshit. What if I was a lesbo? You know, like, this is not fair.
But it's for sugar daddies, though.
I know. I want a sugar mama. I don't know. Whatever. So that didn't work. So next time I'll just pretend I'm a lesbian and do it that way.
Yeah.
But so I'm like, whatever. Well, there's all these guys. I've never done the online dating thing. It's never been my thing. It's just scary for me, too, I think, because like if you find out who I am, I get weirded out. Like I don't want some weird, I don't know, just, you know, it's just weird. So, anyway, so I start looking for guys on there, and it's always, and it's so funny because there's so many, I mean, I got literally the first couple minutes of signing up, I got proposition, like I got offers for like $5,000 for an hour and like just crazy stuff. And I'm like, this doesn't really happen. What? it was just so insane. And so I've ignored everything. And I meet a couple really cool people on the site. I will have to say some really awesome people that I will keep in contact with as friends or whatnot. And, or whatever. So, but there are so many men that I was like, I'm laughing. Like, this is so retarded. Yeah. So then I just start sending 100 emails out. And then I get busted and they kick me off the site.
Really?
Yeah. And I'm like, you know what it is, though? I think it must have been some dude who is so paranoid that he's cheating on his wife or whatever. And he thinks I'm looking at his profile and going to tell people. Well, I'm not, you idiot.
Yeah.
But now if I find out who you are, I'm blabbing it all over.
Good thing you don't have his name.
Good thing I don't. Good thing he doesn't realize. I mean, do you know who you're dealing with here?
Yeah.
No, I'm kidding.
So who did you send 100 emails to, guys?
Well, yeah, I was looking for guys specifically ages 40 to 55, you know, who are successful men because they have to make a certain amount for this show because they're partnering them up with very successful women that are also looking for love. And they truly have to be looking for it. So, it's kind of fun, you know, like trying to find guys and, you know, you want to make sure they have a good personality too and they're not some like axe murderer person because that would suck. But they also have to live in like California. So it was really hard to like go through and pick them all out. It took me hours to go through them all.
Yeah. But that's a good idea to go there on that side.
Right? You know? I thought it was.
Yeah.
until I get kicked off.
Yeah, maybe in the process you'll find a good sugar daddy or something.
Oh, God. You know, wow.
Is there any amount of money that would make you...
No.
I mean, but it's probably... I mean, some of them maybe look for relationships, right? It's not just sex.
Yeah, I just... I mean, some do. I found some really cool people I'm talking to that I think are awesome. And but, you know, I grew up a spoiled brat. Yeah. I mean, not a spoiled brat, but, well, kind of. I admit it. You met my sister. But, no, I mean, I grew up with having everything that I wanted in a way. But I respect the work. I work my ass off, and I respect it. And I would never just, I can't do that. Because for me, like, I'm looking for the real thing.
Right.
I think that's just stupid.
Yeah. So you want to be independent and...
Yeah, I'm so independent. Like, that's the thing. I think money controls people, or you can be controlled by it, and I don't like it.
Definitely.
Yeah, because my parents used to dangle it over me. Like, I remember even growing up, they're like, well, if you want this, then you got to do this, 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 and this, and this. And I'm like, no. And they would just control everything.
Yeah,
and then,
sounds familiar.
it drove me insane. So yeah. I don't want to be controlled. I want to make my own thing and do my own thing. And I'm very independent.
Yeah.
So I know I couldn't do it.
Yeah. So you got to do it yourself. You know, you don't expect someone else to do it for you.
But
like you said, I mean, they do expect a lot back, you know, for all the money they spend on you.
I just can't. Yeah. You know what? If I were younger, I might be like, hey, yeah. And don't get me wrong. I've done some crazy shit back in my day. Crazy shit. I went to France, the senator. I didn't even know. Like, it was the whole insane thing. And then I get there and I realize really what's going on, and I ditched him.
Really?
Yeah, because he was a jerk.
Yeah.
And I didn't want to be in that situation. It was very, very shady. So I wound up meeting friends. See, I can meet friends anywhere. I don't care what country I am in.
Yeah.
If I speak fluent the language or not, I'll figure it out. I speak enough of a lot of languages that I can get myself out of anything pretty much. But and I was younger, I would just go with the flow. I don't want to do that anymore. Now it's like I want to shift my energy, and I want to, if I'm like going to take time into someone, like I love meeting new friends, which is great.
Yeah.
But I like, you know, I just... With a guy, like, I just can't. I'm going to put up the energy that someone amazing I'm going to meet and shift my energies. And
it'll happen.
Yes. It will.
Yeah, manifest it. Yeah.
Speaking of which, I went to a psychic fair in Naples.
A psychic fair?
A psychic fair.
So there were like a lot of psychics there.
It was amazing.
Yeah.
Okay, so, yes.
I'm not surprised you went to that.
You shouldn't be surprised at all. So it was great. I have to say, I always felt that Naples was a very spiritual place. And I think it's because of the Seminoles that live there. It's a lot of Native American land around. It just feels very spiritual. It's very rejuvenating for me. The salt water is great. Just, it calls to me.
Right.
So anyway, we found this psychic fair we went to on Saturday, and there were over 50 psychics and readers and healers and
how do you always find this place?
I just do. You know what? My mom actually found it.
Oh, really?
And I was like, yes, let's go.
Is she into that too?
She never was until recently.
Yeah.
So we went, and she had such a great time, and she's like, I want to read with this person. She like went around to like every reader. It was so funny. And my sister had her fun, I had my fun, and we bought a bunch of like cool products and stuff, and it was good. It was very rejuvenating. But I am changing my outlook on things. I think ever since I've gotten back, it's cleared me enough to be back more in touch with myself and what I want. So we'll see changes.
We will. What kind of changes can we expect?
You know, no more. Okay, I've decided for several things. I feel like, you know, going out with men in general, right. I'll go out and I have a blast and whatever happens, happens, you know, kind of thing.
Right.
And I was always like that person, like, who cares? Remember I asked before, like, sex on the first date, bad, right. Good, right. What? Uh-huh. I never really thought about it. It was just like, it is what it is, you know, and
right.
It like, kind of goes
you
into
go
it.
Along with it. Yeah.
Right. If fine. You're yeah. Whatever. Especially, and my first dates aren't just first dates of knowing someone. It's like I usually go out with someone. I date someone who I've known for a while. I know, it's weird. But anyway, so I don't mind it. It's like, whatever. I know this person as a friend and it's a date, whatever, fuck it. Or literally, fuck it. it was never a big deal. But I feel like I'm going to change my path, because by doing that and just like hooking up randomly, I feel like I lose a sense of myself in a way without realizing.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I never realized it. That just because I like sex, whatever. No big deal. Who cares?
Right.
But I realize actually, deeper inside, I am. And I need to learn to value everything more so that when I meet someone amazing, it's more incredible.
So you think that's sort of a hindrance for you when you meet someone?
I never
that you have a view like that?
You know, because normally I would just be like, oh, whatever. But yeah. You know what it is? I think it's because several guys that I've dated were like, we had sex on the first date. What the hell? Or the first time or the first 2 days or whatever. And or you because you get drunk and you do stupid shit. That was the thing. I was drinking and going out and doing stupid shit. And I feel like I need to change that path because if I keep doing that, then I'm never going to find my
Going to find anyone. Yeah.
Right.
Giving away the milk.
Giving away the milk. I got the pussy, so I got the power.
There you go. Everything revolves around the vagina.
Put it on a t-shirt and let's sell it. I'm kidding. Not like that.
So you've had some, you've done some soul searching?
I've done some soul searching. I had a revelation. But I feel, too, it's like, yeah, I want to find, like, the right person, in a way.
Yeah.
So maybe what I'll do, but then I'm like, if I put my brain this way, and by talking to some psychics and healers, that kind of, actually, they read me and said that, I was
really
shocked.
Wow.
It's the first thing out of their mouth, and I was like, oh, wow, you make me sound really bad. Oh, my God.
So you get to look at yourself from a different perspective.
Yeah, I never really thought about it. And dating some people that I did, even though we dated for a while, it was something that one of the guys recently was, had just kept bringing up again and again.
Right.
And I was like, why are you so stuck on that? Look where we are. Who cares? And I don't know who he was. And someone else said it before. So I just decided not going to do it.
Yeah.
Which is going to be so... But really? Here's my thing, though.
But you're not going to become celibate either,
no.
Right?
No. So that's what I'm asking. Is it okay?
No.
And maybe people out there can chime in and call into the show and whatever. But I'm just saying... So let's say I meet someone who's awesome and I wait for a while to have sex with them. And I change my whole outlook on that, right? Mm-hmm. Like I wait for in that aspect. Is it still okay to have sex with fuck friends?
I don't think so.
Really?
No, if you're going out exclusive with someone.
No, but you're not exclusive yet. You're just dating.
Oh, you're not exclusive.
You're just dating someone. You're getting to know someone. That's the better thing. So I go on a first date. I go on a second date. I go on a third, fourth, fifth date, whatever
right.
it is,
yeah.
you know, with people. And maybe I'm dating two people and going on two different dates with two different people, whatever. Right. I'm not screwing them because I'm changing my ways and I want to find Mr. Whatever.
Right.
But meantime, to relieve yourself, besides playing with yourself, is it okay to still have sex with your friends, with fuck friends?
I don't think so. I don't know.
Even if it's one recirculating?
Yeah, because, I mean, you're trying to build a relationship here, you know? You're not just waiting for the sake of waiting. You're
right?
trying to build a relationship here.
I agree.
You know, so you've got to be... I think he would lose interest if he found out somebody else.
What if I only did it once? What if it was...
Well, it already happened, obviously.
No, it hasn't. I mean, I haven't gone on any dates recently as I've been away. But
yeah.
I'm just saying. Okay, so you say no. No?
No.
So that means I have to be celibate for however long.
Well, don't do it. It doesn't have to be too long. I mean, it can be like a week or 2 weeks.
Okay.
Depends how long, you know, how well you get to know each other quickly.
Yeah, I guess. Well, then here's my other thing. So back in the day, I was very good at being a player, and I could date like five guys at one time before I decided what I wanted.
Uh-huh.
And I feel like maybe I should... I don't really want to settle down for anything.
Yeah.
I think I should go on several dates with different people and feel it all out and whatever. I know what I want.
Right.
So if I don't smell it right away, literally smell it right away.
Then you keep moving on.
No, we'll just be friends, whatever. But, I mean, so what if you are on, like, date number 5 and you're on date number 5 with somebody and you have sex with them the fifth date?
By then you want to, yeah.
Right. And then you're seeing someone else who's just as cool and you're not sure.
Yeah.
So they're on date number 3. So you have sex with date number 5 guy,
uh-huh.
but date number 3 is coming up for this other guy.
Right.
And then that time, 5 dates later, you're like, I'm so not sure. But you like wind up having sex with both. And what do you do?
So why don't you do it like one at a time? Do you think you can do that?
Right.
Or do you have to have 2 or 3
I
at a time?
Am just asking because these are questions that not just my brain wonders,
yeah.
that people out there wonder as well.
Right. Except I think those are that's what hinders you from finding someone, I think, is like, you're thinking of like, you know, doing too many things at the same time with too many people. How can you focus on one person?
Because what if I'm not sure if they're the right person?
So what? So you invest
so
some time
don't have,
into them.
So then don't have sex with them.
Yeah.
Yet. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, invest some time in them. But, but you know, I mean, maybe that's why you haven't, you know, you're not finding anyone is because you always have someone else to go to. You know what I'm saying?
So no, and I think you're right.
Maybe you're not paying as much attention or giving as much effort to the relationship as you would otherwise.
Well, I think because I put too much into relationships before, like I dive in too quickly, usually, and I want to take care of people right away because I'm a caretaker, and I just like, oh, I'll do this, I'll do that, blah, blah, blah. Like an idiot. It's like, I don't know. I feel I never used to be that way until a shitty relationship like a year or two ago. And I feel like I now take a guy that I like and I put the dick on a pedestal in a way, which is so stupid.
Yeah.
And so then once I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm infatuated with somebody. And then I start dating them. Then I'm like, oh, whatever. I'll do whatever. Like an idiot.
Yeah.
So I don't want to do that. I don't want to like dive into something too quickly because I don't want it.
Yeah.
I find that just. Whatever. Yeah. So
maybe you do need to learn how to
be patient
to view meaningful relationships. You know, maybe because you know if you're used to just you know screwing guys here and there,
so
you're not really your mind is not set on a relationship.
So I have a question.
Okay.
So I'm not screwing the guys during this time. Is it okay to hook up with a girlfriend?
Yeah. That yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Done.
Well, I don't know about the guy. I don't know how he'll feel about it.
Well, how is he gonna know?
That's true.
Right? I mean, so that I'm not having sex with a penis inside of me at all during the time that I'm getting to meet the guy that I want.
It depends on who the guy is.
So if I hook up with a girlfriend that occasionally that happens, that's okay?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. As far as I'm concerned, it's okay. I don't know how another guy would feel.
But why are you saying, because you think it's sexy or because it's not a penis penetrating inside?
No, I think it's because you don't view it as competition.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
I wouldn't. Yeah, but maybe
so
a guy
would.
It's
kind of like a male psyche thing.
It is. I mean, who wants another guy to be screwing the girl that you're screwing, you know?
But what if you don't? Okay. No, I see.
So, you know, I mean, but that depends. I think with some guys, they would feel threatened by that, too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so.
These are questions that this goes through my brain. I wonder. But it's not just goes through my brain. It goes through other people's brains.
Right.
So.
Now, how often do you have sex with girls? Or is it just that girl?
No, it's okay. I mean, it's whoever.
Okay.
Not whoever. I mean, I have friends that I hook up with occasionally that I have.
Wow. That's kind of hot, you know, for friends, like, you know, when you normally don't do anything.
Really?
And then suddenly you just, you know, you go to bed or something.
See, this is another thing that I've found myself sliding into literally a lot. Because, you know what it is? I feel like I have a lot of friends. A lot of friends, and I value them. And that's another thing I started thinking. Remember I was saying before that I look at it like, I don't know what it is, but I feel like if they're a friend, then I have sex with you, and it's fine. We can still be friends, and I'm over it.
Yeah.
Is that that's weird.
It is weird.
Why do I feel that that's okay? What went wrong? I don't...
Because it's been... I think you've enmeshed friends with sex for a long time, so it's become sort of like...
So what?
Normal for you, like not a big deal.
Like it's just cash.
Yeah.
So it's hard to make the shift to actually a real thing.
Yeah, I mean, you know, because you're used to casual sex.
Right.
Yeah.
But then it's hard to make that shift because then whoever the real thing is, you want to have a good friendship with them, obviously. You want them to be like your best friend, partner, whatever. So then it's hard to like differentiate.
It is.
Like, I am difficult.
Yeah.
Wow.
No, but I mean, you're living a full life. I mean, this is a time to have as much sex as you can. You know, once you settle down.
Had a lot.
I don't know.
I mean.
Well, that's cool. You know, I mean, if that's what you want, then it works for you. You know.
You're at a perfect age to do that. What I want is to find someone amazing, and I really do want to settle down. I do. I want to find someone amazing. But on that search for amazingness, I am terrified of getting locked into something that isn't going to be amazing.
Right.
So just seeing one person, I feel like you are just limiting yourself.
Right. As long as you feel that way, you're not going to get into a relationship.
Fuck.
It takes some sacrifice, you know? I mean, you can't be married and having sex with other people at the same time.
I'm not married yet. There's no ring on my finger.
No, I'm saying that you would. When you would or when you...
No, that's why I've never been married.
Yeah.
I've never been married because I haven't found what I want.
Right.
If I found what I want, then great. It needs to be someone who sparks my interest, who supports me in many ways.
Okay, so there's your answer.
Right.
So there's your answer. Mm-hmm. You won't want sex with other people if this works for you in this relationship. You okay. know? So, yeah, I mean, think about it and think what you want to do, you know, but don't really go out searching for it, you know, just kind of let it go. But you've got to have a different mindset, I think. So when you go on a date, you're, you know.
So
you're
pull out the thinking, rabbit.
Yeah.
Pull out the rabbit that spins around and play with my toys, right? Should I go to Pleasure Chest tonight and buy more toys? Just saying.
Just saying. Oh, wow. So listen, I also read on Facebook that you got the gig with Harley.
I did, yes.
Wow.
I did. Thanks.
So you went three times.
I went three times.
And you wore the same thing.
Yep.
And they loved it.
They loved it. They do. And that's kind of what they say is because they like you in something once, they want to see you again. You want to wear the same thing.
Right.
Because they remember you again. And they're like, oh, yeah. And they obviously liked whatever you wore and your image that time. So you right. always wear the same thing to any casting.
Yeah.
That's kind of the rule of going back to castings.
Right. So what were they casting? What are you going to be in?
I'm in the catalog, so I'll be doing the fall issue and the anniversary edition.
Really?
Yes.
Wow, that's cool, huh?
Yes.
So you're going to be like in the entire catalog, or they have a few girls in the catalog?
There's a couple
right?
of different girls, yeah, yeah, but I'll be doing the fall, all the fall clothes.
Uh-huh.
They have different girls for each season and such, so I'll be fall and the anniversary special, wow. and I shoot next week.
Wow, yeah. nice.
Yeah.
Good for you. So and how long does it take to shoot that?
Of a day.
2 days?
I think
oh,
it's
just
a day.
One day?
Yeah. They might go into a second day, but I don't know. As of right now, I know it's just one day.
Mm.
So, yeah.
Good. Well, you're landing the gigs.
Yeah. That'll be fun. I mean, their clothes are awesome.
Yeah.
So, and it's great because I just stopped modeling for Affliction. I was modeling for Affliction for a while, and then their company got all crazy, and everyone left, and I was, like, all bummed about it because it was just in May, my last gig with them.
Mm.
And, literally almost a year ago, I guess. And yeah. so I was all bummed out. Like, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? And then, bam, this comes along, and now I got them. So
yeah.
it'll be
good
great.
You,
and they're
yeah.
very similar in clothing and edginess, and so it'll be cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah. I had to go around and get write-offs for my tattoos.
Really?
Yeah, because what happened with Mike Tyson with
oh,
the...
Oh, yes. We were
yeah.
talking about that the other day. I was listening to yep. the replay, and you said that you think that artists own the rights to the tattoos?
It's hard because, well, it's a catch-22. I see both sides.
Mm.
But when you go to someone to tattoo you, you're paying for that tattoo. You're paying for
absolutely.
The design.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's what we mentioned.
Right.
I think if you're paying for a service, it's yours.
It's yours.
Yeah.
But on the other hand,
yeah.
you've got Mike Tyson who's got a tattoo on his face.
Right.
Okay, so it's art on his face. It's very well known. That artist should have been smart beforehand and gotten some release back then. Or, well, actually, they paid off in the end. So maybe they shouldn't have. But I'm just saying, or Mike Tyson should have been smart. Mike Tyson should have been smart and gotten the release back then.
Right.
Knowing it's on his face. Knowing he does TV and commercials and whatever. Because in the film world... if you've got some kind of art hanging behind you in a picture or while you're filming, all of that art that you see in a movie is signed off with a release form by the artist saying it's okay to appear in that film.
Oh,
and they're,
I didn't know that.
Yeah, and either they're paid for a portion yeah. of it or whatever. There's a deal that happened.
Right.
So what this artist is saying is I'm an artist, not on a wall. The canvas is his skin and his face. And I wasn't paid to have his face the cover of this movie of Hangover. And so therefore he won like $1 million lawsuit or whatever.
Yeah, but
it was.
How can he tell you what to do with the artwork? You know,
it,
I mean the thing
I
is
agree.
He sells it. So he actually won
he
this?
He won.
Really?
And it also delayed the release of the film coming out. It was Hangover Part 2. The release of the film coming out because of what happened.
Oh.
So ever since then, companies have been scared, like Harley, they're just scared of that happening. And so they said right away, I need a release from every tattoo artist that you have on your body. And it's hard because the guys that are coming in, they have sleeves,
right.
full sleeves. Usually you work with one or two artists. That's about it. And you find one, and you find another one that you work with, and you work with them always.
Right.
And that's my case is I got all mine pretty much from Affliction, you know, around then. So I that was easy for me. And you met Niz. We had him in studio. So he was one. But so that was easy for me to get my releases. But, I mean, for some people, it's got to be a nightmare. And I remember one guy was like, you know, I had these tattoos 20 years ago. I have no idea where this person is.
Right.
So, but then Harley was like, well, you got to find out.
Yeah, where the hell do you find them, you know?
Yeah, it's hard. And some have passed away. Like, one guy was like, well, mine passed away. And they're like, we need to find where... I mean, it's such crap.
It is.
It's, yeah. But, I mean, I see where Harley's coming from because they don't want to have to deal with that.
Right.
And I understand that.
Yeah.
But it's also like there's got to be some kind of law or something passed soon because of what happened as an
example. But it's getting in the way of you, you know, doing things and
stuff.
You know?
Well, I have all my releases now. So,
oh, you do?
Yeah, I went around and I got all mine. So I'm covered for anything that I do from now on, which is great. Because instead of having them release it to Harley, I have them release all the images on myself to myself. Mm. And I'm allowed to do whatever I want and appear in whatever I want because it's my image on my body.
Right.
And that's what I got basically the release in the gist of it saying. So,
cool.
Yeah. But, yeah, it's just crazy.
Yeah.
Anyway. Yeah. So tell me about your trip, because it's been
my trip, yeah. Well, this trip to Israel takes 15 hours in a direct flight.
Jesus. Okay.
And how do you deal with 15? How do you sit in a plane for 15 hours?
Have
you know?
Sex in the bathroom.
That sounds good, but with whom, you know?
Weren't you with? Oh, you were.
I was by myself, yeah, because we flew separately.
No.
So.
Bummer.
But yeah, but there was I met this guy in the seat next to me, in the row next to me, and. He offered me some Xanax. He says, here, take
cool.
some of this. This should help you sleep, you know. So I did. And I slept for like 12 hours.
That's great.
I don't know if that helped or not. But, you know, it's sort of like off and on.
Yeah.
I don't know how I can sleep for that long anywhere.
Yeah.
But it's like, you know, it's sort of like light sleep. But it's better than just being awake and staring at the walls and stuff, you know.
True
so,
that.
Yeah. So I managed to sleep a lot, and then before you knew it, we were there, you know, 2 hours later after I woke up. So, yeah, so now I figured out how to make those flights, you know, and coming back, I did the same way. I didn't have a pill, but I still managed to sleep a lot.
That's good.
So, yeah, you got to go very tired. And I know some people can't sleep in a plane.
I can.
Can you?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. You see, we're lucky that way because then you can make the flight go by fast.
Yep.
And I think a flight like this makes you realize how short it is to actually fly to Miami. Miami or something,
right?
To Florida.
Yeah,
know.
I'm like
I
6 mean,
5 hours.
Damn,
is,
yeah.
It's nothing.
I know. I mean, when I did all the Australia thing, I was like, oh my God.
Yeah, that's a long flight. Yeah,
it was very long. But with the same thing, I started off, we went on a night flight, and then I just watched movie after movie after movie. I was ordering everything. I was like, oh, this is great. And my two co-stars, because we were filming over there, they were like, one was passed out, and then I was like drinking, and then I just drank myself till I slept. I slept and I was good.
Yeah, that's the way to do it, you know.
Or I watched like 3 movies, 4 movies.
I know, and you've got to be lucky with the kids around you also.
Yeah.
You know, if you get like screaming kids and stuff, that's not fun on a plane.
No, NyQuil them.
Yeah. Yeah, so I was lucky that way. And then, so imagine, you know, you fly 15 hours, you're really dying to get there and everything.
Yeah.
Get off the plane, everything's fine. Then you get to the border. Checkpoint.
I hate that.
And yeah, the passport, passport checkpoint, and it's like one big, huge hall.
Mm-hmm.
I think two flights arrived, so you're talking about 1,000 people.
Yeah.
They only had 3 fucking counters open.
Mm-mm.
You know, 3 windows, and everybody was like really, really irritated. But what are you gonna do? Who are you gonna scream at? There's nobody there. It's like, you know, later when I came back here, I just thought, wow, you know, what a relief. You have people making sure everybody's in line. You know, there were
it's
no lines
so
there. Yeah. So, you know, it was me and 2 guys there, 2 Israeli guys also that flew from here. And we just started bitching all over the place. And everybody's looking at us and stuff. I'm like, you know, just let us out of here, you know. And so then this one guy passes by with the uniform.
Yeah.
So everybody's like mobbing him. It's like, what's going on here? Who can we talk to? He's like, write a complaint.
Oh,
and he
Jesus.
Keeps going, you know, on his cell phone. So that's the kind of attitude, you know, that you're coming to when you first land.
Wow.
And it was downhill from there as far as
really?
Service. Yeah. No, I mean, not my trip, but just when you expect service and stuff like that.
Yeah,
you
yeah, know, I know. I hear
bureaucratic
you.
Places. But all in all, you know, it was, I arrived, it suddenly started pouring, you know, I don't know out of where. I mean, there was just like one cloud. Then we left and everything was like sunny and everything.
Mm-hmm.
So that was cool. My brother, of course, got married. This was his first marriage. He's 40 years old.
Aww.
And finally found his other half.
I don't want to be 40. I can't wait that long.
No, you won't have to because I think you're meeting a lot of people, you know, so you're bound to find someone. You know?
I am. I'm never satisfied. But go ahead. No. Continue.
Yeah. So that was cool. You know, the wedding took place like right on the bank of a river. Not outdoors, you know,
right.
but You know, and there were a lot of people. I saw some people I hadn't seen in 35 years.
Wow.
Man.
Some
of the family, you know, like my mom's aunts and stuff. Believe it or not, people are still alive, you know.
Did you recognize them? Did they
recognize
you?
Yeah, I recognized them. And, yeah, they barely recognized me, but they've seen pictures over the years. But it was just so amazing, you know. I mean, the day before we went to Jerusalem, and they had sort of like this custom ritual there. And it was like this beautiful Jerusalem house, you know, like probably a few years old. Mm-hmm. I mean, a few hundreds of years old.
Wow.
And a lot of people came there from like 15 different countries, believe it or not. Mm. So it was so much fun meeting people that, you know, it was worth
That's
it
so
just
cool.
by itself, you know.
How big was the wedding? Yeah.
It was pretty, well, they had about over 200 people, okay. I think. So it was a good size.
Yeah.
And, you know. I mean, it was just joyful to see everybody, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
yeah.
There wasn't a lot of, it wasn't that eventful as far as like being interesting if you're not part of the family.
Mm-hmm.
But it was cool, you know, people were dancing, the food was cool and everything. So it was worth it, you know, it was unforgettable for us. So that was nice. Took a lot of pictures and stuff, and it was just sort of traditional, you know. One thing I can't stand about being there is driving, you know, because the drivers are crazy.
Worse than here?
Oh, yeah. Are you kidding? I mean, when I come back here, I get to relax on the roads.
Wow.
If you can imagine.
Okay. Yeah.
The drivers here are good, let me tell you.
Wow.
It's all relative, you know. How is it in Florida? Are they different?
Oh, my God. Everyone's old. And they're driving like idiots. They just pull out without looking, and you're like, you have to be careful. You really do. And we got bikes. So I went and got bikes while we were down there. So it's just like you really got to watch out.
Yeah.
People are just retarded.
Yeah, I know. Well, there people are very aggressive, you know, so they don't really give a shit about you. They don't even see you. And they cut off in front of you and, you know, and all that. But... so that usually like throws me off balance is the way people behave on the roads, you know. Also, you know, you try to stand in line, there's no such thing as lines there, you know.
Really?
Just everybody just mobs wherever you go. So you're going to get
a supermarket?
A sandwich or something. Yeah.
I would be like, no, I'm next. I don't think so. Wait behind me.
Yeah, well, yeah. But you'll be surprised. Everybody does that, you know. So, and then if you tell them something, they'll start arguing with you. Like, they're right. You
know?
So, yeah. So, it's just, you know what? It's a different culture.
Mm-hmm.
And what happens is I go back there and I think that, hey, I'm originally from here, so I can relate. But it's different. You know, I've lived here for 35 years. It's not the same. I'm an American, you know. I'm not as much Israeli anymore. So, when I go there, it's like I get a culture shock every time.
Wow.
And so it's funny, but you know, but I mean, we ate a lot of great food that I like, you know, and as far as the food, you can't even compare, you know, you can't compare, you know, you come back here and all the food tastes like plain and
that's because it's like family made and like, you know, original recipes
you know,
that we grew up with.
And Mediterranean food is a lot spicier
I like
and
that.
More
yeah.
flavor and stuff, you know.
I agree.
So you come back here and you eat the salads and the hamburgers and stuff. It's not the same.
Yeah. I hear you.
Yeah. So so that was cool. And yeah, I mean, you know, I met some family that I haven't seen in a long time. And that was pretty moving, you know, because, you know, some even young kids like a cousin that I haven't seen in like, 45
That's
years.
That's just crazy.
You know?
Not knowing and just.
Yeah, you know, and then you go back, but it's also cool to go back to where you grew up.
Right.
You know, you
see
get to
like
see, how it's changed and how things stayed the same and stuff. You know, so that was fun. And then.
Did the kids go?
My kids did not go, no, because they've got school and work and all that stuff, so they didn't go. But it was unfortunate because it would have been nice if they did. And what else did we do? We went, I couldn't believe this. They invited us to this Greek restaurant in Jaffa, which is like, Jaffa is like a very little town next to Tel Aviv, you know, which is like the happening place.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like sort of an ancient place. And they invited us to a Greek restaurant. So we go there and all the food like sucks. You know, I mean, there's nothing to eat.
Cause, well, because it's a Greek place.
Yeah, but we're used to Greek places, you know. I mean, it's supposed to be genuine.
Okay.
And maybe it was, you know, maybe it was really like authentic. But we'd never eaten food like that, you know. And they had, like, octopus in the salads and stuff. And, you know, my family doesn't eat that.
Oh, see, I do. I love that.
Yeah, you know.
Yum. Bring it on.
So all kinds of raw fish and stuff that we didn't really expect. So we ended up just eating leaves and bread, you know.
Oh, my God. Do you guys don't eat raw fish? You don't like sushi?
Kind of into sushi, but no, not really, you know. And it wasn't served as sushi. It was just like white fish, you know, inside a salad.
But see, that's so good.
Okay, well, it's not for some. That's true.
Not for all.
Some of the people love that stuff.
Right.
Yeah.
I think because Greek food
was cool.
Is similar to Italian food in some ways. So yeah. We do that too.
Yeah.
So
yeah, probably
because we're on or Sicily.
Exactly. So, they like a lot of seafood and things like that. Yeah. That's true. Yeah, but my parents don't eat that.
What is this?
So the bread was fucking good, so we had a lot of bread and some leaves from the salad and ended up paying like $80 a person or something.
Wow.
Which I was like blown away, you know. I just thought, I can't believe this.
And what is the prices like over there? Hamburger here is,
things are very similar, you know.
Is it similar?
Yeah, it's very similar, all the prices. It used to be a lot more expensive there, and cars are still more expensive by far. And gas, man, gas costs twice as much. Can
really?
You believe this? Can you believe paying $8 a gallon?
Wow.
Yeah. I don't know.
So does everyone ride scooters there?
No, they drive cars.
Jesus. See, I think it would be like.
They drive cars and they bitch. You know?
I would do like Italy and Greece where you ride around on the scooters everywhere.
Yeah, I know. There are people that ride scooters there, but most people just. No. It's a lot like LA there in many ways, you know. I mean, you go to the malls, everything's in English, all the brands, you know.
Oh, really?
H&M and Zara and.
Oh,
you know,
wow. Yeah, okay.
And all those places. So, so as far. That's the interesting about Israel, you know. You go there and it's like very modern in so many ways. You know, it's like you see people dressed the same way we do here. Mm-hmm. They go to the same clubs. They see the same movies. They watch the same TV shows.
Interesting. Okay.
And listen to the same music.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. And yet, you know, there's parts of it that are so different that you can't even begin to relate, you know. So, but that's the fun part of
that's
going
cool.
there,
right.
you know. Yeah. Yeah.
That is cool.
Got a phone call. Let's see who that is. Good morning. You're on the air. Go ahead.
I'm trying to speak to Sam.
Okay, this is Sam, but you called me on the air. Is that what
you're on
to
the
do?
Air? Okay, I'll call you off the air. I didn't realize this was the other number.
Yeah, there's another number. Yeah, you just called into the studio. Is there anything you wanted to talk about? Otherwise, are you having a good morning?
No, it's basically it's some business thing that I wanted to talk about. But I'll talk to you a little later then.
Sounds good. Thanks for calling, man.
Sorry about that. Have a good day. Take care.
Bye.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah, it's funny. There's several phone numbers on the website, folks. If you want to call me personally, you go on the contact page. the studio.
Otherwise, it calls into a studio.
Yeah. So that was fun. You know, I mean, not a lot of excitement because I was with the family most of all. We didn't really go on trips or anything. But I just get blown away by the culture. You know, it's different.
I've always wanted to go there. A lot of my friends are Jewish, and then they go there, you know, they have to once in their life at least to go visit. And I find it, like, I hear all these stories, and I hear how beautiful it is, and I really would love to go one day.
Yeah, you would like it.
Is it safe? Is it safe?
It is safe. I mean, you know, it depends where you go, but you got to know where to stay. Excuse me, you stay in the big cities, and...
You're fine.
Yeah, you're fine, you know. I mean, look, there's always the possibility that something's going to happen.
It can happen anywhere.
But people keep on living.
Right.
You can't stop living, you know.
No, I hear you.
And, so that was cool. And then we got back last week. And then I was just in the mood to get out and do some things, you know. So we decided to go to wine country and ride horses, you know.
That's great.
And that was, like, so amazing. I can't tell you, Brigetta, it was like... You know, we were like, we had the guide, and then it was just me and my wife, and it was only us, and it was so quiet outside.
Aww.
You know, there were like cows and the horses, you know, we didn't really go fast. You just walk with the horse and for about 90 minutes, and
That's
it was
cool.
so peaceful. And I told her, the guide, I said, I don't know what I'm in a rush for. It's like I'm waiting for us to get somewhere rather than just enjoy myself.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
Enjoy the quiet. Enjoy the fact that the horse is walking slow and not hope to get anywhere fast.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
But it just shows you how it becomes part of our lives.
Right.
You know, where you're constantly like in a rush. You're constantly pressured. Yeah. You know, I need to get there. I need to be doing something. And so then I was able to sort of relax and calm down. And it was so cool, you know. I mean,
great.
I actually took video of being on the horse.
Oh, just, I want to see it.
Yeah, it's amazing, you know. So,
that'd be fun.
Yeah. So that was, you know, and it was beautiful weather over the weekend. And then we went wine tasting.
Okay, now, were you the real wine taster? Were you spit it back out, or did you actually swallow?
No, we actually swallowed it, yeah. Are you supposed to spit it out?
You're supposed to spit it out.
Yeah.
So you don't get drunk, you're just tasting the wine.
That's true, yeah.
Yes.
Well, we didn't get drunk, you know. I mean, it's like, what, 6 different sips. But, yeah, they gave us like 2 white wines, 4 red wines. I'm not that into wine, so I don't know shit about it.
Yeah.
But it tastes, you know, I could tell the difference in the taste. You know, some like, some tasted better than others.
I'm a little bit of a wine snob.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah.
A little bit.
You would have liked it there.
Yeah.
You know, it's cool.
What place did you go to?
There's like a lot of wineries there, you know, and... I don't remember all the names and stuff. I think the bigger ones are like up north a little more.
Okay.
You know? This is like sort of like, this is still considered Southern California.
Like Temecula-ish?
No, not really. Do you know where Solvang is? Have you been to Solvang? It's a Danish
I've
town.
Oh, I've heard of that. Yes.
Yeah.
My friends have told me about it. I haven't been there
yet. Yeah, it's about a couple hours north from here. And so this is not too far from there.
Nice.
Yeah.
Oh, very cool.
Yeah, so I just, you know, we were going to go to Solvang, but it's kind of like an older people town, you know. I mean, it's like you go there, there's nothing to do. You just go shopping for porcelain
and
ceramics. So I thought, you know, let me look up and see if there's anything outdoors to do there. And then I saw that, so I thought, wow, this is cool, you know. And
how fun.
Yeah, I haven't been on a horse in years.
That's great.
So it's really cool, you know, and just nature, you know. It made me want to go camping a lot.
See?
Yeah.
Awesome.
No, I do miss the outdoors. I realize that, you know.
Good.
I know you go out a lot.
I go out
the
all
outdoors and stuff, yeah.
Well, I have Reality Rally this weekend, so that's going to be interesting because I don't know what's involved with that. Every year it's different. It's the amazing race that I'm doing this weekend for breast cancer in Temecula. Yeah. So there's some wine tastings and such because we do have Wilson Creek Winery. That's one of our major sponsors, which they have an almond champagne.
Like
you have got to try.
Really?
It is phenomenal. And they serve it in it's a chocolate shot glass.
Mm.
So the shot glass is edible.
Right.
So they give it to you in this little shot glass and they pour the chocolate, you know, they pour the almond champagne in it and you drink it and then you eat the cup. It's amazing.
Really?
It is so good.
He was telling us one of the wines are good with dark chocolate or something. Mm. I never realized wine goes with chocolate.
Yeah, absolutely. Wow. Absolutely. Depends on, I mean, which ones you were going to pair it with. But it's... Absolutely. Wine's for everything.
Yeah, I guess.
And they're actually healthy. Red wine is actually healthy for your heart and actually cancer, believe it or not. The antioxidants, as long as it's organic wine, organic red wine has so many antioxidants in it, it's actually very good for you. Only one glass a day. You're not supposed to drink more than that because it can actually be harmful. But one glass a day is very good for you.
Yeah.
Your heart and cancer.
Wow.
Yep.
That's pretty interesting.
Mm-hmm. I've known it for a while, but I was reconfirmed at a healing center that I recently went to in Naples.
Mm.
So I was like, oh, yes, that's right.
You went to a healing center.
I did go to a healing center.
What's that?
You're like, what the hell is that?
Yeah.
It's this center it's a holistic healing, basically. They have sound therapy, light therapy. You can realign your chakras. They have this thing like kind of like a zapper where they put electricity into your body, depending on how much you can handle, and it can kill any parasite that you have in your body.
Oh.
It's very cool. It helps another one that helps regenerate your cells. So like, you know, your cells at age 23 start dying after age 23.
Really?
You're like, yes, they just start, you know, dying in your body, and it's a slow process, obviously, but this machine actually helps them to regenerate, slow down the process, or help regenerate cells that are dying. And help put oxygen. There's another one that puts oxygen back into it because basically they say cancer is deoxygenated cells. So this actually helps relive in them and put it back in there. So that was cool. There was a water detox that I did that it was amazing. You stick your feet in this water and it this electrical thing goes in it and it sucks toxins out. And you can see which, like Samantha did it and she had no toxins. They were like, wow. And mine wasn't as bad as normal people, but it was like, okay. But I mean, I know what I, you know,
how can you tell what How much toxins do you have in there?
How dark the water is, because it seeps to the top. They put
really?
Like an iodine thing in it, so you can see the color of what it is that comes up. It's
so
crazy.
So the color comes out of your body?
Yeah.
Really?
It's really neat. So you can see what comes out. It's crazy. And then there's they have this life force machine that's really cool, that it's like electricity thing as well, that just kind of realigns you and just makes you feel amazing. I feel all around energized and amazing and back zen with myself and comfortable with me and ready to just start everything over again and be positive about it all. And I'm good.
Good.
Yeah.
I'm glad.
Thanks.
Well, so you're realigned and everything now.
I am. Okay. And a cool thing is when I was there, I was like, this machine looks familiar. Uh-huh. I know someone in LA who has a machine like this. And, cause she's really cool. And she puts her hand on the electrical machine and then touches a crystal and puts the crystal on your neck. And like, I mean, it's like better than any massage you'll ever have in your life, because it literally takes everything. It's electricity going through your body.
Yeah.
It's amazing. So they have this machine there and I'm like, I know this machine. And they're like, yeah, whatever. So as they leave the room, I see an article that I'm like, I'm just going to read this. And I pull it out from under the machine and I'm reading it. And it talks about Vivian. And I'm like, that's who I know in LA. Oh. And then I look and I see her picture and I'm like, so when he walks back in the room, I'm like, how do you know her? Why do you have this? And they're like, oh, she sold it to me. And I go, that's who I was talking about that I know in LA. Wow. So it was really crazy. It was a really small world. They all knew each other. So here I am in Naples, and it's just a very small world.
Sounds
so I was
good.
Like, oh, this is cool.
Anyway. All right. Okay, well, lots of memories, lots of experiences, and we're back with you live. And Brigitte, have a great day.
Thanks.
And we'll see everybody tomorrow.
Too. All right.
You have been listening to Sam in the Morning with Brigitte, which airs every Monday through Friday from 10 to 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. Sam in the Morning with Brigitte is an LA Talk Radio production, where we say what we want.